In addition to changes at the licensee and practitioner level, there are a number of things that can be done at a regulatory level to improve the accessibility of statements of advice. A number of these stem from what are sensible regulatory requirements that may struggle to make sense in the context of an SOA when you think about it as it's read by a layperson from start to finish. Firstly, we have a requirement to include the basis on which advice is given in the Corps Act. But when we get into the detail of that section at RG 175, it includes a couple of things that could be reconsidered. We are required to include a summary of a client's position. Whilst it's important that we confirm the client's position at some point, it's worth asking the question, does this need to be in the SOA? In the RG 90 example SOA, this covers two pages and adds little value to the client. Less could be more here. We are also required to include a statement regarding best interests. In ordinary speech and writing, we talk about why a strategy would be beneficial. However, to ensure this section is adequately addressed, most licensees and advisors include a specific section to confirm that this need has been met. The end result is an SOA that doesn't read well or can be confusing. We discuss what we're doing, the headline reasons in normal language, then round back, either at the same section or later on at the end, to cover why it is in their best interests. If the advice needs to be in the client's best interests, do we need a statement in the SOA to state that it does? Does this become a complicating layer which does more harm to the SOA than good? Secondly, we have a requirement to state a warning from the Corps Act where information is inaccurate or incomplete. Whilst the requirement to disclose this may be relevant, to require this in the SOA explicitly runs counter to other goals in the advice process. Best practice could be to warn the client in relation to this at the fact-finding stage, where it's needed most, as it would enable the client to provide the information before the advice has been prepared. However, if an advisor were to do so, they're forced to declare it in the SOA itself anyways, which is at best repetitive and at worst confusing. Thirdly, the requirements around replacing a product come from the Corporations Act at 947D. However, there's no relief where products are not like for like or the product is unable to meet client goals. This creates nonsensical outcomes in the SOAs in practice, where comparisons simply struggle to make sense. For example, when the client's goal is to commence a regular income stream, and we're simply moving the client from their existing superannuation product to the linked pension product, we still need to make a comparison. In a multi-strategy SOA, this may not make sense at the point it's being read. Similarly, when the client's goal is to contribute to superannuation so they can effectively save for retirement, we may still find ourselves comparing products that don't make sense, like a term deposit with a superannuation account. The term deposit is clearly an ineffective mechanism to achieve the client's goal, but still we require this in an SOA. The end result, especially in a multi-strategy SOA, is often confusing and distracting. We'd also like to call for further examples that can help guide best practice in advice. We do have one example SOA in RG 90, but we'd like to see more that could cover a broader range of advice types and a broader scope that includes multiple strategies, which is what most advisors are used to day to day.